This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities.
And we're back at it once again. Thanks for joining us. It's the Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. Chris and Andy in studio. We have some special guests in studio and a call on the horn, too, as well.
Wow, yeah.
But as usual, I wanted to ask you guys, like I always do, how your week in real estate went this past week.
You know, if you read the paper, you'd be a little worried because they showed that in April, housing, like last month when we were seeing showings were a little slow. Well, they were showing that they were off by 14% nationally. So a lot of things in new construction were slowing down last month. And I don't know if it was, you know, all the crazy things going on politically or what was going on. But, you know, we did see this week, like you just asked, we did see a pickup again on the people coming back in and looking for properties. And so it looks like we're going to pick up the pace. We're not going to miss much. But, you know, overall, this year may be down a little bit from last year just based on what we're seeing, just because the lack of inventory, you know, stalls out the amount of people that can buy houses.
Yeah, true. And I think sometimes, I mean, we've talked about that in the winter months, and is the weather. You know, the weather and somewhat, I mean, all this raining and stuff, it's limiting things getting on the market as well. Because people are trying to get them ready. They can't get them ready. And then when they have a little time off to be able to do it, you know, maybe they have something else come up and then it starts raining again. So it's kind of all over there. Justin Jerkovich with Bay Equity is with us as well today. And I think that's a kind of an interesting thing. You know, it's always Andy and I talking about the real estate market, and obviously the mortgage part of it is a big piece. What are you seeing going on?
We've had just an incredible amount of surge upwards here last year over this year. I mean, we're up almost 24% year over year, and we're seeing pre-approvals go out, and we're seeing people have to write 4 and 5 and 6 pre-approvals before they finally get a house. When they're going in, there's multiple offer situation. It's been a long time since then. We've actually started to look at new construction, and we've actually come out with our first construction product now because the demand is so high in the existing homes that are out there. There's just not a lot of them, so we got to make more.
Well, exactly. And Andy's talked about that, too, is that what we've done is we've created, you know, inventory through, I mean, the new construction. I'll tell you, you go in and search some things, Lakeville being one of them. You go look on the MLS, and you might see that between 450 and 600,000, there might be 60 houses available. But of those 60 houses available, you know, more than half of them are to-be-builts or model homes.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we just had a buyer that put her house on the market, and it sold in 6 hours, and she put in eight offers, and at that point in time, she was just at the point like, I got to find a house. She's like, I just have to find a house, because she had to be out in 30 days. Well, you know what it's like trying to find a house, get it done, get the mortgage done, everything else in less than 30 days now. She's a little panicked. We'll get her closed up here the first part of June, but it's been crazy in that regard. So.
Well, and you guys being sales up, I mean, obviously that's you absorbing market share because you guys have great products. You're adjusting to the current marketplace conditions and you're coming out with new products, but it's like a lot of the other companies that are out there are looking at, wow, we're waiting for it to kind of take off. You know, it's like that. We're waiting for that spring market. I mean, it's a fair market. It's not bad. But it's not like it was a couple years ago where it felt like things were going bonkers.
Well, I think that's in real estate too, Justin. I mean, if we're not looking ahead and forward to what's coming up, I mean, everyone's hearing that, you know, getting a loan now super simple again. It's not super simple. It's just being creative with the products that you have.
It is. And it's also just, I think that it's a matter of, as Andy said, you got to adapt to what's going on in the market. And, you know, we've really adapted our process procedure. So, you know, we've really, really simplified it from the borrower's standpoint so they don't feel that pain. But, you know, the thing that's really incredible to me is you've got so many people that are looking for houses right now. And we had that, you know, like Andy said a couple of years ago, it was really a great market. But we had all those houses that were coming on when it was slow. And now it's like, we don't have those anymore. It is normalized, and we've got to get more houses out there.
Yeah, I mean,
get to it, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, in the pockets, there's certain pockets that are. I mean, they go just listed one in Savage for $259,000. I mean, I've already had 17 showings and 3 offers. You know, and so it's like, I mean, that's less than 24 hours that it's even been
We see that 180 to 250 range. It's like you can't even keep them in stock. It's like they're gone. You better be on it, or it's not going to happen. And if you don't have a strong pre-approval letter from a good lender that's reputable, I mean, we've seen now where, you know, some of the things we're doing have actually carried the day, you know, offer to offer equal dollars. But, you know, we'll follow up as soon as that offer goes in with calls to the agent and say, no, these people are completely pre-approved. You don't have to worry about anything. As long as the house appraises, you're good to go. And it's making a difference. But those are the things that you have to do if you want to stay competitive. You got to go above and beyond.
And Andy, that's important when it comes to multiple offers, because sometimes they're getting over full price. And so how much over full price isn't always the best one to take, because what some people do is they hinge their bet and say, hey, I'll give you this much over, but it has to appraise for that number, else I'm not going to buy it.
That's the biggest scam going on.
We have to be real careful of that, because we see a lot now where we've got stuff coming in over ask, and you know that there's a good chance, because a lot of these houses haven't sold because the market's still catching up, that you're not going to get that. And now we've got a whole renegotiation of the deal, as you guys know, and that can kind of turn into a little bit of a soup sandwich at times.
Well, and I think that you're it's a good analogy. That's right, though, but that is I think that's a negotiating technique that a lot of the agents have used over the years, is, hey, throw it out there, get that greedy seller thinking, oh, I'm going to get all this money. Then you eliminate the competition, then it's just you and them negotiating at that point. We've talked about this, you know, time and time again, and it's not always done that with that intent. But what I always say is that if you write an offer like that, I say, wonderful, we'll accept that offer as long as you pay cash up to so many dollars over the actual appraised value. We have no problem accepting your offer.
You know, but we talk about all these multiple offers and everything's great and everything like that. As you inch up in the marketplace and in price ranges, it's not so great in those. And that's where there's just fantastic opportunities in that over $700,000-$800,000 range.
Yep.
I mean, even from that like 700 to 1.2, there's some of those houses that, I mean, people had paid, you know, 1.5, 1.8 for, that you're getting just amazing bargains at that price point. So
yeah, it's true. I mean, and you know, that is a limited audience. Obviously, everybody listening would love to own a couple million-dollar house, but then again, what I've seen a lot of the baby boomer generation here, where you're getting, 10,000 people a day are turning 65, and they're thinking about taxes, they're thinking about maintenance, they're thinking about long term. So I think you're seeing kind of two markets at the same time happening, where you see somebody trying to sell their McMansion and go downsize to the condo or downsize to the actual affordable house on the lake or whatever, and if that's even possible to say that, but you know what I'm saying. And they're just looking at the long-term hold strategy of keeping expenses at a minimum. And, you know,
so. I know I had a client that didn't owe anything on their house, and to maintain it, it's $7,000 a month, you know, from taxes and insurance.
Seems reasonable.
Know. Yeah.
Well, see, that's why you and I don't hang out, Rooney, because I don't have any friends like that.
So I want to remind our listeners that they can get involved. If you have a real estate question, either by phone or by text, we'll take them. Here's the phone number, 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807, 81807.
Yeah, we got a text question. Might as well grab it. Sure. Is buying the first house in a new development wise? Case in point, Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Park, north of 610. So if you're going to be the first house in a new construction neighborhood, what should you look for?
Well, you know, I think that the key thing there is that I would look at the covenants of the development. I'd look at the building requirements and see if they're actually filed with the city so that they're permanent. So, for an example, if you're going to build
who are the builders, too?
Who are the builders? Is it one big builder that's a national builder? Because, you know, when everybody says, oh, that, you feel safer with the national. But nationals are the first one that if they have a problem, they cut the sheet and they'll say, hey, all right, all these developments are closing. We're moving out of town. And all of a sudden, you're living in a ghost town. Smaller builders that own also have those same constraints, but on a smaller level. But what I'd look at is the covenances, because once they record the covenances, unless they're amended at the city, you know, which is actually a pretty tedious process, you know at least what the future houses are going to look like around you. So even if you're the first one and the whole world comes to a stop for a couple of years and you're living out there by yourself, you know what's coming.
Yeah, and I would say, too, if you're the first one, hopefully you're looking more longer term, you know, because typically what happens, resale in a new construction neighborhood, people are going to that neighborhood because they might want their bedroom a foot bigger or, you know, do a walk-in shower versus a little shower, you know, that kind of stuff. So I think that's important to know that, hey, you're going to stay there for a little while,
right?
Because, I mean, and once it all sells out and then all the values jump again.
Well, I was just going to say, so the optimistic side of that is you're the first one in at the entry level pricing. So they have to be attractive, and usually prices only go up from there. So then all of a sudden you get to ride that equity train all the way up. You're still in a new neighborhood. You know, it's been in the past when we knew the economy was going to stay stable and going great in a good direction was a great way to do it, which seems to be currently what we're seeing. So,
and the best investment you can make is get the best lot.
Yep.
Grab the best lot.
Good point. I'll tell you what, let's do a quick break here. We have more Real Estate Show coming up, coming back in a couple of minutes. 651-989-9226. Text is 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Real Estate Show here on 830 WCCO. If you do have a real estate question, we always welcome yours. 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. Chris and Andy, we were briefly talking about Lakeshore property. And I know we've got somebody.
There's a lot of lakes around here. I don't know if you do that.
Yeah, I've heard that.
This whole Minnesota thing. But Andy, we got
OC.
We got a guy who helps us out. Yep, up in the Cross Lake Whitefish Chain area.
Yeah, we're kind of excited. We every year we try to bring Mike O'Connell in, and he's with the Larson Group. They're out of, and they just made a switch. They're actually with the Keller Williams Professionals up in Cross Lake. And these guys, I'll tell you what, Denny, they got their thumb on what's going on. And so we brought Mike on today to kind of talk about what's happening up in Cross
Lake.
What
a great area.
Oh, my gosh.
God's country.
God's country, yes.
So why do we live here, guys?
I made a comment that to someone that we're going to talk about Cross Lake and, you know, a second cabin, and someone mentioned that all there is mansions up there.
Oh, no. There's everything for everybody. There's traditional cabins that are between $0 to $500,000. There's mid-level, $5 to $850,000. And then you do have, like you boys have been talking about, some of these larger McMansions and lake homes.
When you talk about Cross Lake, I mean, are you talking about the whole Whitefish chain in general, or how does that all kind of split up there?
Yeah, the overall region would be the Brainerd Lakes region, and that kind of covers, you know, Brainerd to Longville area, and Cross Lake is the center of the Whitefish chain, and that would cover 14 lakes and have the ability for the entire chain in the surrounding area of Whitefish, non-chain lakes also.
And why is it such a destination?
Yeah, I was going to say the same. What's the big draw, Mike?
Yeah.
Well, Andy's been up here a couple times over the years and back and forth between Gull Lake and the Whitefish chain, and they're both just a ideal location for the people that are looking from your area to come up for the week and enjoy their time with their family. It's a reasonable drive, 2.5 hours or less. Weekends like this and 4th of July, it might be a little more, but when you finally get here, it's worth it. It's a small town charm. It has the characteristics of a little more laid back living, some of the best quality water in the area, in the state that you will find. And yet it still has all the amenities of golfing and the restaurants and the resorts and a nice balance of everything.
Well, I think one of the things too, you know, is that when you really get into it, when you drive up to an area that you want to, you know, have a vacation or a retirement home in or whatever your, you know, objectives are, when you pull into Cross Lake, for an example, that is an area that's just naturally so beautiful. You know, the big pines and the birch trees and the rocks and the, you know, all the sandy beaches. And you get out there and you just feel like you're away from the city, you know, and you actually, it creates an environment that only Mother Nature could create. And because it's one of my favorite spots. That's why.
But you can also create action there, too, you know, with all the places to hang out.
Exactly. You get to leave, get up here from the metro and leave your problems at the shorelines, and you can have it one of both ways. You can get be secluded and out on your own with your family, or if you're looking for a social atmosphere, it has all the amenities that you can go from restaurant to restaurant on the lake and enjoy yourself in whichever way you see fit.
Well, and you guys are too, you're very active throughout the season. It's not just summer for you guys. I know you're a big participant and a big part of the success of their St. Patrick's Day parade up there, and that's just one of many things you guys do throughout the year. You know, I mean, talk a little bit about that. I mean, give us a little plug on that, too.
Yeah, we're always growing as a balanced year-round community, and there's things to do here throughout the winter. WCCO Television had their special up here for February for Winterfest. We have St. Patrick's Day Parade as one of the largest parades in the state. This year we had over 20,000 people, and we keep it going throughout the entire year. After the summer is done and everybody's back into school, we still have Cross Lake Days in late September. Pequot has events throughout the year, and so does a number of the JCs and the surrounding communities. It is a year-round destination, and the only thing that can control it from us is, like you guys talk about, is the weather. If we're getting enough snow or enough cold weather to build up those ice levels so everybody can enjoy it in the way they like.
Yeah, Justin Jerkovich is here with Bay Equity as well, and talking about, you know, getting that second home or cabin up north. I mean, what challenges are buyers going to run into as far as financing goes? Money down and all that kind of
really
stuff.
At the end of the day, the challenge isn't any different than buying any home. It's really just a function of you're going to have a little bit more down payment, because on the mortgage side, if you know things do go bad, you're probably letting the cabin go before your primary residence, so we're going to require you to have a minimum of 10% down versus as little as, you know, 3% down on primary residence. So outside of that, your restrictions are the same.
Mike O'Connell, what's a great value up there right now?
Yeah.
Right now we're seeing that entry-level residential, we have the lowest inventory in the last 10 years, and that holds the truest between $0 and $500,000. You get into that $500,000 and above the $850 range, we continue to see that be level to slight appreciation, and then you get $850 to multi-million, and that at best is level, and with depreciation still happening in the higher end market. And that's why it's important to have the agent that really knows exactly what's going on in the market. I mean, you can have as much marketing as you want. However, when you're getting to selling or buying the home, you want to have an expert that knows that shoreline point and how you're establishing your value.
I think that's important too. I mean, we talk a lot about, I mean, the terrain, the shoreline, you know, what you all have. And, I mean, even access, you know, sometimes you get on one side of the lake and to be able to get all the way around it, you know, some people might just think, hey, it's on the whitefish chain. But there's a lot of things that go into value.
Exactly. It's location. It's the time and amenities between the channels, the elevation, the quality of shoreline. And that's where we've always had a great relationship with you guys is, you know, I know the metro. You guys have been up here and know there. But we don't want to waste each other's times and our clients' times by driving back and forth on a property when you see the price point being something you like, but you're not familiar with that shoreline to waste the time driving up here. We have a great referral base with metro agents like yourself that we're looking forward to those relationships to help our clients in the highest.
Well, you know, and for the agents, though, Mike, too, that are listening, we've had I've actually had the experience of watching their presentation that they give to the potential people that want to look in that area. And it's so soothing and comfortable, and you guys really make people comfortable with what the area is first. And then, exactly, like you said, you really pick out what kind of lifestyle they have. Are they the secluded fishermen, or are they the middle of everything, water skiing and, you know, wakeboarding kind of family? And then you guys guide them as to which way to direct them. And I thought it was just a really nice approach to helping someone figure out, you know, hey, can I afford a cabin? You know, what do I want to buy, or what does it cost to buy what my family really wants?
Exactly. We try to enter the market with our clients to have them be an expert in their segment of what they're trying to accomplish, and they can buy and sell with confidence. And we are in a small town, so you know everybody, you know what's going on, and you can't mislead people. You need to be realistic expectations. There's only two bridges in town, and you don't want to burn one, or you're going the long way around.
Well, you know, we got Mike O'Connell here with the Larson Group of Keller Williams Professionals in Cross Lake. Mike, hold on. I think we're going to go to a break here.
Thank you.
Very good. Hang on. We'll take our usual break. Almost a half hour of the show to go yet. So if you didn't get in, if you have a real estate question, 651-989-9226 or send a text 81807. And welcome back to this portion of our real estate show. Again, if you have a real estate type of question, 651-989-9226. We welcome yours or send a text like we have been receiving, 81807. Chris and Andy, for those folks that maybe you just joined us a little bit late, yeah. You have a special guest on the phone besides Justin.
Well, here. We call him OC, but a lot of people call him when he's professionally speaking as Mike O'Connell, the Larson Group KW Professionals up in Cross Lake. Mike, you know, I had a text that came in. They were asking us, you know, so if we were interested in maybe thinking about buying something up in Cross Lake, how do they get started or what kind of things can they do to get started?
Well, you can contact me and we can get started with an instant notification system that's specifically designed for your criteria and goals in our Lake Place market. And we can establish what's on the market, the past sales that establishes the value, and that's okay. The best way to get to know the introduction.
Cool. How do they get a hold of you or what email can they send stuff to get started?
You can reach me at 218-831-6787 or on my email address is mike@lgkwpro.com, Larson Group, Keller Williams Pro Professionals.com.
Otherwise, you contact the show here. We'll make sure you get a hold of Mike. And then those auto emails, I think, are pretty cool. It's kind of like our nosy neighbor. It'll send out all the things that you're looking for. It comes in an email. And then,
it's fantastic. If I'm out on appointments with other clients and some listing comes in the market, it automatically gets to you. So by the time I'm back in the office, you've already reached back to me and I can get you the disclosures, supplements, and everything and tell you what I know about the property or go take a look at it myself if I'm not familiar.
Well, how about options off the water, Mike? I mean, because if I want to go up there, and I can't afford that, but I love that area up there. Be able to somehow get my boat on the water, but yet not being on the water. Is there options like that?
There certainly is. We got two marinas, Bertha Boatworks and CNC Boatworks, that allows you to have dock slipping and such like that. There's associations with their own docking that you pay monthly association dues, and some of them you do have lake views, some of them you don't, but reflectively you get a little better price point and more for your house, and you have that access to the chain. People do buy acreage and build that, you know, retreat in the woods with the solitude, and they do their hunting in the off seasons, and then they just bring their boats over the accesses and enjoy the chain like the rest of us.
When I heard you guarantee that you'll put them on the fish in the right bay at the right time of year too. Is that true?
Yeah, we know the right guides. We have a number of people, but I'm always, if I'm on the lake, I'm not going to be working with showing a fishing spot either, giving away all the secrets.
I've seen you out there having fun with some clients, so that's part of your sizzle that makes the deals happen up there. It's a lot of fun. Mike's a good guy. Give him a buzz, and then we appreciate you coming on, Mike.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I look forward to working with you guys again.
Yeah, sounds good.
Have a good day.
You know, we're also seeing, too, in the marketplace where people are, you know, maybe moving away from the cabin. They're too busy, you know, that they can't get up there and that they're combining all of their stuff into one place down here. You been seeing any of that, Justin, where people are combining their things? And then how about qualifying with that in the interim? So I need to get rid of my cabin. I got my house. Maybe I sold my house, but I'm trying to put it all in one. Qualifying, all that fun stuff.
Well, from the qualification standpoint, really what it boils down to is you've got two methods that you're going to use, which is if you're selling one place or both places and buying a new one, it unless you're in an upper income bracket, it most likely is going to be a little bit tough because you have to qualify with all the payments that you have before you can take out the loan. So what we see a lot of times in situations like that is people that go with more of a long-term approach, so they're going to try to maybe downsize one of them and consolidate out, and then a lot of times they can qualify with one of the properties and then put in an offer on the other one. And you can try contingent, but as you guys know, that's not exactly the easiest offer to get accepted right now.
Yeah, you know, and no, but I'll tell you what, on some of them, it is. You know, because, I mean, a contingent offer, I mean, from if we're talking in kind of the luxury market area, you know, if it's not on a lake, I mean, the lakes are going crazy and they sell right away. Mm-hmm. But some of the other ones that contingent offers are not only accepted, they're encouraged to be able to get them going because they know from the luxury market that, you know, the lower markets are going to be able to sell quicker.
Sure.
And some people are afraid, oh, I better not buy that because then I got to sell my house, right. But I'm going to lose out on that house. But
you know, Chris, I've actually started seeing, you know, Denny, you're asking about things that are changing in the market. And one of those things that I'm seeing is people selling their house contingent upon them finding an acceptable property so that you walk in as a buyer, you write an offer on their property. They're asking for a 2-week window to identify a property that meets their needs, or the whole deal falls apart. And that was something that was done years ago. We're starting to see that again, which means contingencies sometimes are very attractive. So if somebody comes in contingent upon the sale of their house, that relaxes the seller because they don't feel that urgency to go out there and make a bad decision. Now they have a little time on their hands to go out there and make the right decision. But homework has to be done on the buyer coming in to make sure that they're not overpricing their property too, so it's a realistic sale.
Yeah. I think there should be a little caveat to that contingency. You know, just giving them 2 weeks to say, hey, if I find one, if I don't, I don't. Well, we know with what the inventory is that they're probably not going to find one in 2 weeks. But to add a little caveat is to be able to throw in there and say, you know what, within 2 weeks, you got to pick your closing date instead.
Yep.
Because that might be able, you know, by extending it, you know, that gives you more time in which to look, but that doesn't put the buyer in a horrible position of just sitting there waiting.
Well, you know, and the other way we've seen offers coming in too is where they'll write it out 60 days and it'll say or sooner. And so that if they sell their house, they're coming in basically presenting a non-contingent offer, but they're giving themselves enough of a window so that they know they won't have double payments because they know their house will sell. And they price their house to sell. And so then it actually works out good for everybody. But it's, you know, it's being creative, I think, and working with the other real estate professionals that are helping everyone and guiding them through something that is, you know, amicable for everybody.
Hey, Justin, an opportunity for people. So a buyer comes in. I mean, typically your best lock is what, 45 days? I mean,
30 days is going to be
your best.
Well, 15 is your best, but I mean, 30 days is your most
typical.
Realistic in terms of from the time you're going to make an offer.
So if a buyer comes in into the seller and they want to be able to jump in at these interest rates and all of a sudden the seller says, you know what, I want to float it out there 120 days. I mean, what's that going to cost for someone to extend that, let's just say on a $300,000 mortgage, to be able to kind of give that seller that extra time? Because from a seller standpoint, that might be well worth it to be able to say, you know what, we'll pay your extended lock.
Yeah, and what you look at there is depending on the type of financing, so this is all in general, but you know, going out to 120 days is going to, depending on where the yield curve's at on that day, you know, it's going to cost you probably a quarter of a point to extend that out. I mean, a quarter in rate, or you can pay the fees associated with it, which is probably going to be anywhere from about a point and three eighths to 2 points to get out that far.
So that's what, $3,000? I mean, on a $300,000 loan?
It could be up to $6,000, but you know, otherwise probably you're looking at on the low end about $3,700.
But I think that's sometimes, I mean, you know, we sit and talk about, hey, how it's such a great seller's market and everything, but the buyers aren't just going to just take it either. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we're dealing with them. And I tell you, I've had many homes that have multiple offers. And it's really interesting to see some of them. I mean, where you have six offers and three of them aren't even over full price. You know, so some people still aren't getting into that. You know, they're going to try it. But I mean, I had one that ended up like 3,000 over and we had like seven offers on it, which was really interesting to me. But that's why I'm saying that you can't, I mean, as a seller, if you think that, you know what, I can do anything I want and they'll take it, that's just not true.
You got to
be able to work with people. And they're thinking too, from a buyer standpoint, they're thinking like, hey, if I sit here and wait 2 weeks, how many more houses am I going to miss that come up?
Right.
You know, I want to be able to get out of it too then,
right,
if that's the case. And then sometimes they get, because the emotion then wears off after they've won and they've got that deal. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, hold on a minute.
Right.
2 weeks.
Well,
I got to wait.
And that's like the buyer I was referring to that sold their property. And, you know, then it becomes you're excited, you're going to look, and then it's like, holy cow. You know, then it goes from the excitement, you're, you know, 5-6 days, you've written a couple offers, they haven't gone through, you've been in multiple situations, and now you start to feel like you've, you know, you're battling the clock. It's like, I got to get my stuff packed up, I got to get it moved, I got to get closed on the new place, and I've got 3 weeks. And that gets to be scary.
Yeah.
Tell you what, let's take a break here. Again, inviting our listeners, if you have a real estate related question, 651-989-9226. Text number, and we'll get to those. 81807. 81807.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show here on 830 WCCO. If you have a question related to our real estate show, by all means, call us, 651-989-9226. Or if you prefer, like some folks do, send us a text, 81807.
Yeah, we had Mike O'Connell with
the Larson Group
at Keller Williams.
Across Lake.
Yeah, talking about cabins and second homes up in the Cross Lake area. And Justin Jerkovich here with Bay Equity is with us as well. Got a text question from before. What would you say is the fastest growing suburb?
Yeah, I'd like to hear that from
you. Fastest growing. You know, if you look at, there's a couple ways to look at that. There's just new construction. You're seeing a couple big producers, like you have Lakeville that has lots of land in front of it. There's a bunch of inventory coming. The Met Council also agrees and has a bunch of their sewer lines and money going that direction as well. You've got Woodbury that's pretty hot. Blaine has been pretty hot. You know, the outer sub where there's room to grow is where the hot suburbs seem to be going. And land is still fairly affordable. It's, I guess I'm seeing prices on land back to the, you know, 2005 pricing, but sounds crazy, but it's where it has to go. I mean, you look at the land and you got the lots. I mean, on a $100,000 lot in like any of the cities, I wish I could get a $100,000 lot in Woodbury, but you can't. But the $100,000 lot like in Lakeville, you know, you do the math on that, there's over $40,000 worth of fees and sewer connection fees and all the different, you know, and then you have building permits. And a lot of that cost of that lot comes from just the fees. And these cities need to recoup that money. I get it. But it's like, it's still, it'd be nice if the cities would cooperate with the Met Councils and get those fees under control so we can have some, you know, steady, even growth. And just a pipe dream of mine. But
yeah, there you go. Got a St. Cloud listener asking if by building a new high school, which St. Cloud is, I've heard that property values will rise because of the new school. Is that true?
I don't know.
It's a good question. I mean, how about in general? Not necessarily St. Cloud, but I mean, in general.
New doesn't schools. Mean better, I think. You know what I'm saying? I think
it
we
typically
have
means growth, though.
Right.
Growth is happening, and that typically means more people are coming. That typically means
demand.
Yeah, and prices are going to rise.
So, yes. So. I mean, but if you get into an area where the schools are rumored to be not as good, or they're not testing as well, or there's not that investment being made, it'll hurt you faster than it helps you. I think what happens is you add those new schools, and you do the things that you're supposed to do, and you maintain status and start growing a little bit at a time. If you don't, what happens is you plummet in values, and that's really the key there.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Justin, I was talking a little bit about, you know, the values in the upper brackets and, you know, jumbo loans and things like that where there's just great products available. Talk a little bit about that, about the jumbo products that there. I mean, there's some ARM products that, you know, if you're going to be there, you know, 5-7 years, that you're going to crush it on a rate.
Yeah, the jumbo market there, again, what happens here is you've got a little bit in the mortgage end, a little bit more of a risky loan. So here again, you're going to wind up with a larger down payment requirement. They are going to restrict you a little bit more on what your debt to income ratios are. And if you want to say that best rate that you're going to execute at, you're going to have some reserves involved with that too. So the jumbo market becomes a little bit trickier, and it's just a product of the loans a little bit riskier. Because of that. But yeah, there absolutely are a lot of, you know, we do a fair bit of jumbo product. And
people get afraid of that sometimes. They say that, you know, hey, if it's not your a normal conforming loan, and that the jumbo market, but there's a lot of good products.
And at the end of the day, it's all about expectation. So if we go into the transaction with the proper expectation, it's really not an issue. We already know the marks we need to hit. Where it becomes an issue is if people don't understand them, and that's why you need to take some time on the front end, explain to them exactly what needs to be done in order to complete the transaction. And as long as you've done that properly, it's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, Bay Equity's got a ton of options all over Minnesota. Even got an office down in Rochester. But you guys finance Minnesota, Wisconsin, the Dakotas?
Yep. Yeah. The company itself is in 36 states. So, I mean, you know, we're broadly based. But, I mean, here our region is the areas that you indicated.
Well, you know, and I'm still kind of shocked from earlier in the show when we were talking about being able to buy a cabin. So the guy right now sitting on his boat that's fishing, he sees the for sale sign, can go buy that cabin with as little as 10% down. That blows me away. I mean, it not that long ago, it was 30% or more. And it's like, so these banks and these lenders are working with people. And so the reason why you talk about things like that is, let's say you own the existing house now and you want to buy that property, and then you haven't sold your existing house yet, so you don't have to tap into all your equity yet. You may take out the new loan, and then, you know, 90 days down the road, you sell your existing house, and then you can actually cash out that loan or whatever and have that cabin paid for in full. But in the meantime, it's a tool that can be used to get you where you want to go.
Correct.
Which is on the lake.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I've been talking about the upper bracket market and stuff like that. And like I said, I on south of the river, I've got a lot of options. I know Andy does too, but from like golf communities being on courses to Lakeshore with Acreage. I mean, Acreage is another one that people go to that you think later on that they wouldn't go to because it's more work. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when you start talking about storage, you know, extra storage, you get extra garages and stuff. What's one of the things you do as you start? I mean, one of the things you enjoy maybe are extra cars or
right.
want to have a wood shop or something.
You know? How about a property up in Oak Grove that you can actually do your deer hunting right in your backyard?
There you go. There you go.
Call me.
But seriously, yeah. No. But there is, I mean, but that becomes a lifestyle thing. And I think that's a lot of times people miss out on that. Mm-hmm. You know, that they're not really thinking about that. But once it kind of, you get to it mm-hmm. and be able to kind of throw in, hey, here's what we can do from a jumbo financing product, get rid of the other things and get in now because it's the market is so good right now.
Well, you know,
on that upper bracket.
And what you're saying too is sometimes you change the way you shop for those properties based on it's not bedrooms and bathrooms all the time. Now it might be the right lot on the right bay or the right acreage or the right whatever to do the activities you want to do beyond just living in the actual house, because now it's a lifestyle decision. That's one of the things that Mike and you both comment on quite a bit.
Okay, so I know we got to get moving here, but how about as far as Justin Jerkovich, how do we get a hold of you, and or do you have a commercial over there for us?
We've got a quick shameless plug here.
Okay, hold on.
Get a loan from my dad. I pay you equity.
Yay, they okay. did it.
So we had
Good
a
job,
couple.
Boys.
We had three kids in here today, right, Justin?
Yeah,
two of yours and then Andy?
Yeah, I was going to say, we normally just have one when Andy's here, but now today we had three, so it was a little interesting in studio.
ChrisRudy.com, also hit our Facebook page, Real Estate Radio Hour, Prasky.com,
yep.
over there.
All right.
And it's on Facebook, too. I like the Facebook, because then you can interact with everybody. That's a lot more fun.
Guys, we'll see you next week, I hope.
Sounds
Everybody
great.
Everybody have a safe holiday this weekend. And join us again next week for more real estate here on 830 WCCO.